Father, we appreciate the opportunity we have to gather around your word and receive your truth and your teachings. We pray that you would help us to understand these things, that they'd be a source of motivation, a challenge to us to apply them in our lives, and that they would be blessings unto each of us. And we thank you and pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So we... just finished up talking about the fact that Jesus will do anything, answer our prayers, anything that we ask in his name, that he will do it. And that David, as an example of how if we don't pray, there's no change to our lives. And he was in a desperate place, and only after he prayed did he see God come through for him. So the people of God in today's world were facing very difficult times, especially throughout the rest of the world. Where there's Christians, they're under such immense persecution. They're being murdered, they're being mistreated, persecuted in all manner of ways. But even here in America, we're seeing a lot of the same thing. There's been a not so subtle shift to undermine the very fabric of our society. Our nation that was founded on biblical principles. They're trying to destroy all of its institutions. The government, our families, our schools, even our churches. They're using drugs, crime, violence. They're attacking the very nature of the nuclear family. And by that I mean, you know, the husband, the wife, and the children. These perverted concepts of marriage that they've come up with between two men, two women, furries, and everything else. I mean, it's designed to destroy the very fabric of our society. There's the rise... What's that? Oh, yeah, the schools. You got California that they're basically allowing kids to do all manner of harm to themselves in to transition, as they call it, to another sex. And the teachers aren't allowed to tell the parents about it. It's just heinous. There's a rise of socialism and Marxism, internationalism, an ever-increasing tyranny of our government, to the place that it's becoming evident to even unbelievers that there's something wrong. And we as believers, we sit here and we wonder, where will it all end? What can we even do about it? What can we do to stop this from destroying our families, our church, and our nation? And we know one thing is for Christians to repent, that is to have a change of mental attitude, turning away from the things of the world and towards the Word of God, towards His grace, towards faith living. But there's another answer that lies in what we've been studying here, this unique provision of the Father for each and every one of us as believers. And that is to come to Him in faith with our requests. And by doing so, we will be able to not just survive barely keeping our head above water, but even to prosper through these very difficult times. The problem that separated us from God, those problems have been dealt with by Christ's atoning death on the cross. his victorious resurrection from the dead. And to us who have believed on Christ, we now have his righteousness, making us totally acceptable to God the Father. And we also have Jesus there before God as our great high priest. He's right there at the right hand of God, constantly interceding on our behalf due to the problem of our ongoing sin. So access to God in heaven has been opened right up for us, making it possible for us to directly go to the Father, to the throne of grace with all of our requests. But having access and taking advantage of it are two entirely different matters. God has every spiritual blessing in store, waiting, ready to shower upon us. Every need that we have to be provided for, he's already provided for it. It's waiting there. We just need to come to him in faith for it. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Why do you suppose then that we're to approach the throne of grace with confidence? Because we're in a right standing before God. We don't need to be in a sense of groveling, I don't know how to put it. We have the standing of a son and daughter. When your kids come up to you, do they crawl on their hands and knees and, you know, piddling themselves like a scared little dog? No, they come up and they're like, "Hey, Mom, Dad, can I have a cookie?" They come to us with confidence because they know that we love them. They know that we want the best for them. That's how we're to approach God, with confidence that he does love us, that he wants the best for us. And again, we looked at James 4:2, that said, "You have not because you ask not." This puts it very concisely. And if we want to look at it slightly differently, if you want to have, you must ask the Father. Or how about Philippians 4:6? Which says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And faith comes in understanding what we need to do, what we really have to do, and then it motivates us to do it. And this concept, it brings in the humility that we have as the inferior party, and God being the infinitely superior party, God of heaven and earth, God of all of the universe, we're going to him with our requests. He has all the things that we want and need. He wants to give them to us. It's part of his grace, his kindness and love, that he wants to do these things for us. But he set things up in such a way that he wants us to ask for them. And, you know, when you think about it, you know, a lot of what God has done in his entire plan seems to be focused around relationship. He wants to have a relationship, not just as an omnipotent creator that's far off and detached from his creation. He wants a personal relationship with each and every one of us. And if we never go to him in prayer, if we never go and ask him for things, then we are putting that distance between us. We're separating ourselves from him. And this structure of having to go to God in prayer, it really necessitates that concept of connection, that concept of closeness, because we have to draw near to him to ask him. So what is it that you want? What is it that you desire biblically for your lives? Do you want your health restored? I was having a lot of health problems last year, missed a lot of work, and I was praying to God. I was in excruciating pain from the diverticulitis. I thought, it felt like what people described as appendicitis right before it burst, especially the first time that I was struck with it. And I can only describe it as a feeling of a metal hook that is piercing my insides and pulling on them at the same time. It was terrible. Couldn't barely move. And I had a lot of other digestive issues that would keep me from going to work because, you know, you got to be near a bathroom. And I can't be out there walking through neighborhoods and knocking on doors and being like, hey, can I use your bathroom? Just would be a little unacceptable. So I had to pray, and faith had to pray, and we sought God's wisdom in the matter, and God changed things for us. It required some changes to my diet, changes to my activity, but I feel better than I felt in over 20 years now by God's grace. Is it food that you need? Is it shelter, clothing, transportation? Then ask the Father. Is it spiritual strength? Is it wisdom? Answers that we need, deep answers for our souls. Ask the Father. Healing of hurt relationships. Ask the Father. The stopping of the evil tide that is washing over our nation. Seeing the rise of Bible doctrine once again in our country. Grace, faith, and truth being the hallmark that we'd like to see in our nation once again. Ask the Father. Are there places you'd like to go? People you'd like to see? Things that you'd like to do? Ask the Father. Are you under intense pressure, being attacked by the devil, feeling like it's coming from every side? And would you like to deal with these things successfully, conclusively, and victoriously? Ask the Father. Do you want to have a successful, happy family unit? Go to the Father in prayer. Ask him. Would you like to be used by the Lord in your life to serve him and glorify him in the things that you do? Ask the Father. Would you like to see your community, our community, sold out for Christ to become a stronghold for the Word of God? We should be asking the Father. Do you want to see God prosper you in your business? What do you want to see in your life? What changes do you want to see manifest in your reality? What do you want to accomplish for the Word of God, for the kingdom of God? Is it a good thing, a beneficial thing for yourself, for your family, for others? Then ask God the Father for it in faith in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we're moving on to another section. This is Jesus Christ, the basis of our faith. When Stephen, the first martyr of the church, addressed the high priest and the men of Israel, this is in Acts 7, 1 through 60. He gave them a concise and accurate history of the nation of Israel from the perspective of God's truth, including their arrogance and their rebellion against Yahweh. Upon hearing this, they became enraged, and they dragged him out to stone him to death. And at the very moment of their rage, as they are stoning him to death, he looked up and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father in all of his glory. And it was the most amazing thing that one could see or imagine. And it has some serious ramifications for all the people living here on earth, especially for us believers. The fact that Jesus was standing at the right hand of God showed that Jesus had not only gone into heaven, but that he had been accepted into the presence of the Most High. And above that, he had not only gone into his presence and been accepted, but he was standing at his right hand. And this wasn't too long after Christ was crucified. Now, throughout recorded history, the position of being at someone's right hand meant that one had been accepted by that individual into a place of favor and power. He was respected, loved, and valued. He was in a position of power and was above all of the other people. The individual at the right hand was now the recipient of the other person's favor and blessing. And now Jesus was at the right hand of God the Most High. Now the prophet Daniel had a vision of this over 2,500 years ago when he saw the Ancient of Days, our Heavenly Father, enthroned in heaven, and one like the Son of Man approaching this Ancient of Days. And he was led into his presence, and he was not only accepted by the Ancient of Days, but he was also there at his right hand. And this is Daniel 7, 13 and 14. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Now, Christ being seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven is the very basis of us getting whatever we ask for from God. John 16, 23 says, I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. The Father loves the Son and will do whatever the Son asks. It comes with the position of favor at the right hand of God. And again, but I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One, coming on the clouds of glory. That's Matthew 26, 64. And know the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. That is John 16, 27. So the Son of God, the second member of the Trinity, left his position in glory at the right hand of God the Father to become a man, a human being. And on earth, he fully carried out the Father's will. He died for our sins. He was buried and he was raised from the dead and ascended back into heaven. And there he was seated at the right hand of the Father once again. Only now, he's a resurrected human being in a glorified body. And this is the gospel concerning Christ. Because of this, and his other positions such as high priest, we now have access to the Father and his limitless grace. The issue is not who we are or what we have done. We get it so twisted thinking that, you know, because of our failures and our faults, that we end up with a negative view on ourselves, feeling like it's nearly impossible to get ourselves to believe that God would even think of answering our prayers. But it's not about us. It's about Christ. It's about what he accomplished. It's about his righteousness. The answer for our prayers, the grace that we wish to receive, does not come to us because of who or what we are or what we have or haven't done, good or bad. It comes because Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And if we lack the confidence in this matter, it's because we have no confidence in ourselves, which we shouldn't have confidence in ourselves. We can't be good enough. We can't earn God's favor or grace. By its very nature, it's unearnable. We are to have that confidence in Jesus Christ and all that he accomplished and all that he did for us, so that when we go to God in prayer, we should be mindful that it is who and what Christ is that counts with God, not who and what we are. And when we believe on Christ as our Savior, we also believed in the Father. In fact, there's really no true faith in God without believing on Christ. For anyone who goes to God must first believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of all who diligently seek him. And when we believe on Christ, we also became related to the Father. And because we're related to Christ, we have access to the Father. In John 1:12, it reads, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." So we are in that state, in that position of favor because we have trusted in Christ as our Savior and because of where his position is. Now all things come from the Father, both in their origin and in their permission. And it's he who planned our eternal salvation and created us. James 1:17-18. This reads, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that he created." So Christ has not only become the basis for our relationship with the Father and our faith towards the Father, but an example, the example of how we're to live and be before God. He knew that the Father had a plan for his life, a perfect plan. And it was his desire to do everything that the Father wanted him to do here on this earth. He also knew that the Father had provided everything that he would ever need to accomplish the will that he had for him while he was here. His only desire was to serve his Father, to glorify him, to do his will. And he knew that the Father's plan, his provisions, his power, that they would all sustain him through anything that he endured while he was here. And he knew that the Father would give him the strength to go on, even sustaining him up to and going through the cross. And Christ was constantly talking to the Father in prayer. He was constantly in fellowship with him, placing requests before him. He was in continuous contact in his mind, his heart, and his spirit. They were all oriented towards God the Father. And often, he would go off by himself, separate from the rest of his disciples, to commune with the Father, to spend time with him. You ever notice in today's age, we are always, in one way, shape, or form, distracted. We're never spending time off by ourselves with the Father. Most of us have these little guys that fill up every small gap in our day. Scrolling, notifications, sending text messages, watching YouTube videos, whatever it is. It fills up every waking moment that's not being directed and focused on something else, another task or another item that we have to accomplish. And many times we're listening to or doing something on that while we're doing something else. I mean, so many times I've seen where people will be even something simple like watching TV, but they can't just watch TV, they're also on their phone. Or you walk out into a restaurant and you see, you know, couples that are sitting there. They're not having conversation with each other. They're each of them on their own phone, poking something, scrolling something. Entire families, exactly. And think of that, the connection that a boyfriend and girlfriend, that they're not creating, that they're not developing or nurturing, or a family that sits down to dinner and don't say a word to each other because they're on their devices the whole time. The same thing's happening between us and God. If we're spending no quiet time in prayer, in meditation, in just pouring out our souls to God, He wants that connection with us. We need to want that connection with Him. Christ loved the Father. And he loved to do his will on earth. And this should be the challenge and motivation to all of us. If we say that we love Jesus, if we say that we love God our Father, and we want to do his will, then we need to actually pray, to ask him for the things that we want and need, to spend time in devotional activities, reading the Bible, studying. Now that we have come to Christ as our Savior, we should have that confidence towards God as our Father, just as He did. As we observed through His faith towards the Father through His life. So often we live our lives in fear from one thing or another. We go from our feelings to our minds to people of the government, from this thing to that, all looking for something to help us, to take care of us, to provide for us. But Paul wrote in Philippians 4:19, "And my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." In fact, Christ's whole life on earth and what had happened to him and the results of all of it validated the whole approach to us as believers having towards God, with coming to God with faith. It tells us that this approach of faith in God, our Father, actually works. It's trustworthy. You can depend on it. It won't let you down. Even if there's times where you might think that God has let you down, He has not. We're just in a waiting stage, waiting to see Him come through. And you can still depend upon that faith approach, especially when the dust clears and you see what God has done. When the trial is over and you see the results, when He comes through. We'll go ahead and stop here this morning. Father, we thank You again for bringing us together around Your word. We pray that You would help us to apply these things in our lives and to live more each day in the filling of the Holy Spirit and in fellowship with You and one another. And we just thank You and we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.